Well, happy new year and welcome to 2023. It is January 1, and what a great way to start the year is together we seek what God has for us. So if you're watching today, just pumped for you to be tuned in, not to just this broadcast, but to what God has for you this year. And that's really what this message today is about. Like, how do we build what God's called us to build? Am I going to be intentional about that? What's it look like? So for us today, as we embark on 2023, I want us to see what it takes to build a place for God in our life. That's really what the whole message series is. As we come into next week, January 8th, it's going to be the first of four messages in a series called Turn the Page. I hope that you join me with that because it's going to be a great opportunity for us to look at what God is calling us to start, what He's calling us to stop, where He's calling us to stay, and what He's calling us to and going. So that's going to be a great, great message series. There's going to be resources attached to that so that you can grow in your walk with Him. I want you to be a part of that. But today, what does it take for us to make a place for God to be honored in our life? And I hope you're doing that in January 2023. Part of that is like, yeah, making a practical place. Like, where do you go to seek Him? Where do you go to study? Like, where are you involved in a life-giving church? Are you meeting with people more than just on a screen, but face-to-face? Because connection in the real life is very important as we follow Christ, because our relationship with Him is real, and we need to be around real people as well that can get close enough to be able to touch us, both in our heart, you know, spiritually speaking, but also, man, there's something about a handshake or a hug. I'm always going to push you to that real world environment, though I'm glad you're here. And if it's January 1, it's probably pretty cold out there too. I know it's been a pretty interesting weather season, at least where we are. And so for this series today, I want us to look at the book of Ezra. It's all about building a place for God. Because if you know the book of Ezra, this is in the Old Testament, and this is about God's people who had been carted away into captivity by the Babylonians, and they've been there 70 years. A whole generation has passed, and yet now they've had favor from God to be able to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild. I titled the message, like, How to Start Fresh, because that's really what these people are doing. It's a new season. It's a new day for them. The page is turning on where they were in captivity, and now they're walking into freedom in Jerusalem. And so this book, the book of Ezra, really is about that. It's about them building a place for God, specifically in building the temple. So let's jump into chapter 3, because this is when we see them having come back and now they're realizing, wait, we need to build the temple of God. Here we go, verse 1. In early autumn, when the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled in Jerusalem with a unified purpose. That's interesting. Then Jeshua, the son of Jehozadak, joined his fellow priests and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his family in rebuilding the altar of the God of Israel. They wanted to sacrifice burnt offerings on it, as instructed in the law of Moses, the man of God. How do we start fresh? How do we build the place that God's called us to? Here's the first thing. We make the choice. We decide. You have to say, I am going to build the place that God has for me in my life. You have to make the choice. We are a product of our choices. The decisions that we made yesterday, they really tell the story of where we are today. But the decisions that we make today will, if we stick to those decisions, will make the story for tomorrow. So what are you choosing in 2023? What are you choosing today? Look at what it says. It says, all the people assembled in Jerusalem with a unified purpose. What was their purpose? He goes on to say, to rebuild the altar of the God of Israel. To rebuild the altar, the place of sacrifice. So are you making the choice with other people around you? Because there's something that happens when you get with other people and say, I'm making this choice, and they go, I am too. It's just a fascinating statistic. This was, I think, a 2012 Kansas State University study that found that when people were exercising, like people who had never exercised, when they were partnered with somebody who loved exercise, there was a 200% increase in both the time that they spent exercising and the intensity of their exercise. Why is that? This biblical truth and one of the values of our church, we are better together. So maybe you're saying, yes, I'm making the choice. I want to build the place of sacrifice. I want to put an altar in my life. Like, God, I'm laying down all of me and I'm following you. I'm making that choice. Before they made the choice, here's what it says. All the people assembled in Jerusalem with a unified purpose. The power of the body of Christ is because when we work together, it's unstoppable. And the book of Ecclesiastes talks about that, about how, you know, if you're walking with somebody and they fall down, you can help them up, or if you fall down, they can help you up. How can one person stay warm by themselves? But if you've got two people, like, they can help keep each other warm. And don't I know that? I've been on some backpacking trips that were freezing cold, and I needed the body warmth of those other people. We needed it. We're like, well, I don't know about that. Don't tell anybody, but it was cold. Like, we're all bundled up inside a small tent because we're trying to stay warm. There's something synergistic, if that's a word, that happens when we make the choice to make a place for God, but we also bring other people into it. Listen, for the next 2 months, you're going to hear me talking about how foundationally important it is for you to make a choice to follow God and then make a choice to walk in relationship with other people. You need that. In fact, next week we'll be starting January 8th. We'll be starting 21 days of prayer and fasting. I want you to do that. And I'm glad that you're tuning in. Hopefully you're tuning in with somebody sitting next to you, or maybe a group of people sitting with you. But I want us to seek God together. I want to challenge you to make the choice, but to not just make it alone. Come together with other people for the same purpose. We're going to grow in our walk with God. We're going to become who God's created us to be. That we take the relationship of our walk with the Lord from being so personal, I understand that it is, but that it's more than just about me and my person. I'm walking together with people. Make the choice. All the people assembled with a unified purpose to rebuild the altar. Rebuild the altar. Let's read on. It says, even though the people were afraid of the local residents, they rebuilt the altar at its old site. Then they began to sacrifice burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord each morning and evening. They celebrated the festivals of shelters as prescribed in the law, sacrificing the number of burnt offerings specified each day for the festival. They also offered regular burnt offerings and offerings required for the new moon celebrations and the annual festivals as prescribed by the Lord. The people also gave voluntary offerings to the Lord. Here's the first thing, coming together with a unified purpose with other people to make the choice. I'm going to make a place for God in my life. I'm going to rebuild that altar. Maybe you need to build that altar. And here's the second thing. First one's make the choice. The second one's make the sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice? What do I need to sacrifice? I think we see a really great formula right in here. What does it say in verse 3? Even though the people were afraid of the local residents, they began to rebuild the altar. You know what you need to lay down on that altar? The sacrifice that you need to place there, the first one, is your fear. Don't be afraid of what the future holds. Don't be afraid of the naysayers. Don't be afraid of the haters. Lay down that fear. Put it on the altar and say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. And you let faith be the loudest voice in your life. God, I believe that as I build a place for you in my life, that you are going to do some pretty spectacular and amazing things in me and through me and around me. And he will. You have to make the choice to build that place of sacrifice for him. You have to be willing to make the sacrifice. The first one is that you purpose, I'm going to lay down my fears. I'm not going to operate in fear. I'm going to shut the voice of fear in my life. I'm going to cut it off, and I'm going to listen to the voice of faith that I find in Scripture and in people that can encourage me, and I'm going to be a voice of faith to the people around me. That's the first sacrifice. Make the sacrifice. Lay down your fear. You don't have to be fearful. Where does fear come from? a lack of trust, a lack of knowing and trusting God, that even if the worst case scenario happens, it's trusting and knowing that He's got your best interest at heart, and He's going to use you to be an example to many. And through you, even in tough times, He's going to be with you, and He's going to use you to help other people get through their tough times. As a father, what would I rather? Me be comfortable and my kids go through tough times, or me go through tough times so that my kids can see that God's with me and that He makes a way for those who love and honor Him? I'll take the tough times if my kids learn the lesson, because remember, we all learn through trial or tribulation or truth. I want my kids to learn truth because they watch Daddy not just live out truth, but when the trial or tribulation came, I was willing to lay my life down and my fears down on the altar of God to watch that be burned up. Because I want to live by faith, not fear. Make the sacrifice. Yeah, even though the people were afraid of the local residents, they rebuilt the altar. What else? They had to lay down that altar. They had to sacrifice. Make the sacrifice for what? Lay down my fears. The second one is you're going to have to sacrifice some free time. They had to physically rebuild the altar of God. Now I understand that the burnt offering system, that's gone. Jesus came and he was the one spotless lamb, and He laid down His life for us so that we don't engage in burnt offering sacrifices of animals. We don't do that. Jesus was our sacrifice. But am I willing to lay down not just my fears? Am I willing to lay down my free time to build the place of God in my life and in other people's lives? And am I going to take my free time to not just build the place of God in my life, a place for Him to move, but with other people in my life, in their life, in our church, in our community, in our world? Make the sacrifice. Make the sacrifice of your fears. Lay them down. Make the sacrifice of your free time. Let me just say, anything that's worth doing, you've heard this, is worth doing right. It's impossible to live right for God and not spend time in His service. So do it. Make the sacrifice, free time. And then the third sacrifice, financially. Look at what it says. It says right here, the people also gave voluntary offerings of the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. I want you to know that God's called us, all of us, to lay down our fears, like walk in faith. Give Him all of us. God doesn't just want your Sundays. He wants every moment of every day. Why? Because when you surrender all of you to all of Him, He gives you all that He has, and His goodness and His purpose and His peace and His calling. Fear, free time, financially. If you're not a tither, if you don't give from your heart and it's an overflow, if you're not walking out your faith by giving financially, you're missing the blessing of God in your life. You just are. And if you know me, like, if you really know me, number one, you know that I never have worried, and you can ask my wife, the people close, I've never worried about money. But I've always, since little, because I was taught it, I was a tither and a giver. Why is that so important to God and to me? Why is that a thing? I think it's biblical. I think it's an act of maturity. I think it's an act of obedience. I think that as we give, God blesses. But let me tell you what it really is for all of us. It's a reminder that God has everything. You've heard the old adage, put your money where your mouth is. If you truly believe in something, you're going to invest in it because you know it's a sure thing. So step out. Maybe start giving something. Maybe trust God with I got my money in. Like for me, my wife and I, we give way more than 10%. And so like our church, by the way, gives way more than 10%. Our gross revenue, we give that back out. We gave over last year, well over $150,000 to missions from our church, because that's what we do. But like maybe just as you get the first in, you give God the first and your best. You go, Lord, I'm giving this to you. step out and sacrifice. It's worth it. Make the choice. Make the choice to build a place for God. Make the choice to sacrifice. Here's the third thing. As they made the decision, we're going to rebuild the altar of God. We're going to lay down our fears. We're going to take our time to actually physically build God a place for you. We're going to give financially. Here's what happened in chapter four. Here's what happened. It says, verse 1, the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were rebuilding a temple to the Lord. So they approached Zerubbabel and the other leaders and said, let us build with you, for we will worship your God just as you do. We've sacrificed to him ever since King Ir-Shaddan of Assyria brought us here. Let me just say this. You'll have to face your foes. And maybe not everybody that you think is with you is actually with you. Come, let us build with us. But they knew, Mom, these people, they're not our friends. There are enemies. The tactic of the enemy is always to distract you. Seldom is he going to send somebody your way and say, you're an idiot. What are you doing seeking God? You're going to build a place for God. How stupid are you? Probably not going to happen. But there will be those who are like, yeah. I follow Jesus. I want to do your thing. But really, you know that they're going to pull you out of the place that you're trying to build for the Lord. You have to face the enemy. I love the response of the leaders of Israel at this time as they're rebuilding, not just the altar. Now they've laid the foundation. In chapter 3, they didn't just build the altar. They laid the whole foundation for the temple, and they're about to start building the temple. In chapter 4, wow, their enemies show up, but the enemy's sneaky. Hey, we want to build with you. Look at verse 3. But Zerubbabel, Yeshua, and the other leaders of Israel replied, you may have no part in this work. We alone will build the temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, just as King Cyrus of Persia commanded us. Then the local residents tried to discourage and frighten the people of Judah to keep them from their work. They bribed agents to work against them and frustrate their plans. You got to make the choice. God, I'm gonna serve you. I'm gonna build a place for you this year, 2023. I am building a place for you. That's why we're taking 21 days of prayer and fasting together to intentionally seek the Lord. Starts January 8th. Make the sacrifice. Lay down your fears. Be willing to give of your time to serve the Lord. Be willing to give of your finances to serve the Lord. Here's the third thing. You're gonna have to face the enemy, because he's going to come against you. And if he can't get you in a sneaky way, he'll just bring discouragement your way. He'll try to frighten you. He'll try to get other people to work against you. Face the foes that come your way. Listen, part of the reason that I know when I'm doing the right thing, like, it's hard. I know that I'm doing the right thing in part because I see the resistance that comes my way. I remember one of our guys that's in construction, when he was a young man, he was working on somebody else's crew. Now he has his own company. And he was living really, really wild. And he came to work a little late and a little hungover. And his boss said, hey, you seen the devil? You run into the devil lately? And Dennis said, no, I haven't run into the devil lately. He says, you know why that is? Say, no, he said, because you go in the same direction. A lot of truth in that. Am I willing to face the enemy and say, no, I'm not going to be afraid. No, I'm not going to let you discourage me. No, I'm not going to let you distract me. You can bring anybody you can to stop me. I am making the choice to build a place for God. I am sacrificing of myself. And then the fourth thing. In chapter 6, it's where they finish the work, and that's the last point. We have to finish the work. Chapter 6, verse 14. So the Jewish elders continued their work, and they were greatly encouraged by the preaching of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo. And the temple was finally finished. How do we get to the place where it is finished for us? And we know that that'll be at the end of our life when we stand before the Lord and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Here's how. Today we make the choice to build a place for God. Today we purpose ourselves to make sacrifices for him. We recognize we're going to have to face our foes. And then we just keep building until God calls us home, until the work is done. You know, there are different seasons and different chapters of our life. And even when one chapter ends, God's turning the page to another one. So, my prayer for you this year is that you make the choice to follow Jesus. I grew up in a church as a little kid until my teenage years, and then we got in a really wild, awesome, amazing, life-giving church. But I grew up in a very traditional, liturgical, that means churchy church, and they would sing the song, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Have you made that decision? Maybe the Lord's knocking on the door of your heart right now. Maybe you feel Him tugging. My prayer for you is that you open the door of your heart and you say, "Jesus, I've decided to follow You." What a way to start the year. Jesus says that, He says, "I know the plans I have for you, not for calamity and destruction, but to give you a future and a hope." Maybe today you need to make the decision to follow Jesus. And if that's you, I want to pray with you and just lead you in a prayer. So what that looks like, it's not the words that are magical or powerful. It's the heart with which they're spoken. So why don't you pray this with me? Say, "Dear Jesus, I choose You. Today I decide to follow You. I believe You died on that cross for me to take the punishment for my sins. I believe that You rose from the dead so that I could walk in life with You. Jesus, I'm Yours. Amen." Listen, if that's you, man, I'm so excited. I'm so excited for what God has for you. Why don't you click on the link below so that we can connect with you and help you grow as you follow Jesus. Remember how I talked about you need people. I want to get you connected into relationship so that you can grow into what God's created you to be as you follow Jesus. Well, welcome to 2023, and know this, the best is yet to come. God bless. How was that? Next one is not so easy.